Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Deanne Penn at the United Nations in New York. In this week's program, legal barriers to women's economic empowerment still exist in many countries, and improvements in an incentive payment system for midwives in India has led to healthier mums and babies. But first, the migration of women who take up work in other countries can be empowering, according to a senior UN expert on population issues. A report released by the UN shows that the number of migrants worldwide was 244 million in 2015, an increase of around 20 million over 5 years. Half of those people were women or girls. The report, Trends in International Migrant Stock, says that the number of international migrants is growing faster than the global population. Danielle Dickinson spoke to Bella Hovey from the Population Division at the UN Department of Economic and Social Affairs and asked him about trends in the migration of women.
The proportion of women has been fairly constant over the past 10 years or so. It's almost 50% of all migrants are women of all ages. That includes girls and that includes older women and women of working age. That is purely the demographics of the migrants. But when you look at certain employment sectors, there are actually important changes over time. And one employment sector where women migrants are highly represented is domestic work. For example, to the GCC countries, the oil-producing countries of Western Asia, we see millions of domestic workers from the Philippines, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, Indonesia. But not just to those countries. Also, we see a lot of foreign women employed as domestic workers in Europe, in North America, which allows, by the way, women in destination countries to participate in the labor market as well. So it's a win-win situation if you want. But we do see a lot of protection issues when it comes to household labor.
This is something which regularly appears in the international media, the way women are often treated very badly in domestic situations.
That's correct. Human rights are often not respected in domestic work, and that is why it is so encouraging that the International Labour Organization has adopted a convention on the rights of domestic workers just a few years ago, and that we see already an increasing number of countries ratifying that convention, and that includes important safeguards for women in the sector of domestic work, many of whom are from other countries.
What is going to happen next in terms of the trend for women migration?
It's difficult to predict migration, but given the growing economic role of women in the labour market, in employment, as entrepreneurs, etc., etc., we can certainly expect that the proportion of women in the total number of migrants will continue to creep up. But let's not forget that the total proportion also hides other things, such as that more and more migrant workers who are women migrate on their own. In the past, they used to follow their husbands in terms of family reunification, but more and more we see women moving independently. And that is the type of trends that you do not see when you just talk about the total proportions.
But that's a good thing, isn't it? Women travelling independently, getting jobs, sending money home?
I think that is certainly a clear sign of the empowerment of women and the independent role of women. Their contributions to the economy are very important.
Laws that impede women's economic opportunities are on the books in more than 150 countries. The finding comes in a study by the World Bank, which documents restrictions against women when it comes to getting a job, owning property, building credit, and even seeking legal protection from violence. The report shows that gaps still remain in the goal to achieve gender equality. The World Bank researchers gathered data from 173 countries. Of that number, 155 had at least one law that served as a roadblock to women's economic opportunities. Sara Iqbal is a contributing author of the report, Women, Business and the Law, 2016.
In certain countries in the world, husbands can legally prevent their wives from working based on the family code. And generally what it will say is that the husband can stop his wife from working if he deems it to not be in the interest of the family or the children. So, for example, in Cote d'Ivoire, they used to have this law, and then based on World Bank technical assistance, they reformed it to make it a reciprocal requirement. So now either wives can stop their husbands from working or husbands can stop their wives from working. And that actually sort of gives the wife greater bargaining power within the home.
Furthermore, 46 countries have no laws which protect women from domestic violence. That's about one quarter of the economies surveyed. The World Bank researchers point out that lack of protection from domestic violence could affect a woman's life expectancy and more. Paula Tavares worked on the section of the report that covers this data.
Some of the effects of violence can extend into future generations. So with children of abused women, for example, leaving school earlier than others, and even macroeconomic repercussions where violence against women can add to the cost of healthcare and justice systems in economies around the world. There are regions with fewer economies overall addressing domestic violence in their legislation. These are the Middle East and North Africa, where about 79% of economies have yet to enact any legislation, and Sub-Saharan Africa, where only about half of the economies have domestic violence laws.
The researchers believe that women's legal empowerment may have similar effects to women's empowerment in the political arena. They cited information which showed that giving women the right to vote led to changes in laws related to child welfare and public health spending. The theory is that elected officials began to incorporate women's concerns into their agendas once they became a significant portion of citizens who voted. Improvements in an incentive payment system for midwives in India has led to healthier mums and babies. Through the system, supported by the private sector investment arm of the World Bank, midwives receive cash payments for each baby born in a health center. Children delivered by trained medical staff are more likely to survive than those born at home. Mandeep Panu has the story of how improvements in the payment system in Binhar, India, have resulted in more babies being born in a safer medical environment.
My name is Madhu Kumari, and I am an ASHA,
which stands for an accredited social health activist. Each ASHA looks after 1,000 households.
Our work is to visit house to house in the village to see which women are pregnant and which children have not been immunized. We tell them about the health center.
Today, Madhu visits with Sangeeta, a pregnant mother who is expecting her second child.
ASHA Madhu brought me here to this health center to deliver my first child. Today, for my second, she has brought me here for vaccination and a checkup.
Madhu gets paid 600 rupees every time one of her mothers delivers in a health center, and the mothers receive money too. Many poor women in Bihar still have babies at home, and the government-run ASHA program reduces the infant mortality rate. But the incentive payments were unreliable and often took months to arrive. Madhu explains.
We are working on an incentive basis, and if that payment does not arrive on time, then how are we going to work?
There were other problems as well. The program's cash and paper-based system led to corruption and waste. Some money would just disappear, a phenomenon known as leakage. But that's changing. Under the new Public Financial Management System health module, all health services are recorded electronically and payments are automatic. Madhu explains.
Through the new system, the payment directly comes to my account. No one can take the money.
Supported by the World Bank Group, this payment system is improving healthcare by improving morale. Rahul Kumar, a former additional health secretary of Bihar, says women are more likely to stick with the prenatal program if they're confident they'll receive the incentive payments.
When we ensure the timely and efficient payment to the beneficiaries, it will certainly help to improve all indicators of health.
So the electronic payment system does more than just ensure women get their incentive payments on time. It's also improving the quality of care at health centers and is helping women gain access to financial services. This makes Madhu proud to be an ASHA.
This is why I feel so good being an ASHA. I can do social work, and serving our society is our religion.
You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. You can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter. Thanks for listening. I'm Deanne Penn.